Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good evening, everyone. I am Evangelist Tanita, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And we want to welcome you to this Friday evening broadcast. Today is October the 6th, 2023. And we will talk about a new series, which is Understanding the Sukkot. I'll hand the show over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. And I'll go ahead and get us started with prayer. Well, Father God, we thank you for Sukkot. We thank you for you, first and foremost, because without you, there is no Sukkot. There is no feast. There's no fellowship. There's no communion. We desire, Father, to commune with you, desire to walk with you and talk with you and to be in your presence and to learn from you. We ask forgiveness for our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. We choose, we make it our point to forgive others as we so desire for you to forgive us. We forgive them for sin, iniquity, and transgression against us and our family. And we say hallelujah for the forgiveness and for the anointing and for the power that we have within us to not only forgive, but to be forgiven. We thank you for both of those powers in the precious name of Yahushua. Well, hallelujah. We thank you for this particular feast. And Evangelist Anita, one of the things that understanding this is there is so much information, actually probably too much information out there pertaining to the prophetic understanding of Sukkot, the fact of the feast itself and where to find it and different nuances of how to observe it.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do, first and foremost, is give you a reference. That by giving everyone a reference, you can go back and use your electronic device and you can go and begin to do a little bit of due diligence yourself to see some of the aspects of what I believe is a very solid teaching, and that's by a group called Psalms 119 Ministries on Sukkot. If you go to YouTube, and please understand, I am not sanctioning everything that they put out. I am just sanctioning the fact of this particular series that they put out. I studied it, very impressed with it, and totally agree with it. Okay. Now, the way in which they pronounce Yahushua, or the way they pronounce the sacred name, is not something that I condone, but that's not what this is about. This is about Sukkot and understanding the prophetic and how it is observed. I like the way they put it out. I have put it out very similar to the way that they had, but it's easier for me to be able to focus on one or two points and give all of you that are listening an opportunity to get a more exhaustive teaching, which is what they have put out, which I am very impressed with. And I am willing to say that. Now, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 12. And the reason for this is because Evangelist Anita, I don't know if you've ever heard this or have ever been asked this question, but I have, pertaining to the fact that aren't the feast days and the commandments of the Lord, aren't those for the Jews only? Now, we need to put a stop to the misinformation, not just because it is misinformation, but because we all are responsible. If it were not true, amen? If we were not true and you were not responsible, you really wouldn't care what too many people say about it. But if it's something that you're being held responsible for,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't know or you weren't told, and that's another story, isn't it?
Yes.
So Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, we can read that in the King James, and we can also read it in the Amplified, whenever you're ready.
Okay. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And then the Amplified reads, it says, assemble the people, the men and the women and children, and the stranger, resident, alien, foreigner, within your cities, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God with awe-filled reverence and profound respect, and be careful to obey the words of this law.
And be careful to obey. So who is responsible for being careful to obey? Does it not say the foreigner?
Yes, everyone.
Okay. It's a very important passage of scripture because it doesn't allow for anyone
right.
to be exempt from following what Torah says that we are supposed to be doing. It's not just for the native. It's not just for those who are born Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everyone.
Yes.
Everybody. Does everyone see that? That is a very important aspect of what we need to be aware of. Very important. So I want to make sure that that's well known and well understood. Now,
yes.
In the future, and most of us know this one, I'm sure, but in the future, and I'm not talking about our present day, I'm talking about even future to our present or past our present day. We are going to be responsible more specifically in Zechariah chapter 14, if you can get there. And I think it's around verse 16 to about 19 or so. Zechariah chapter, and I think it's around verse 16 or so.
Okay.
But when you go to that particular passage of scripture, it talks about what we understand the millennial period, which is still yet to come. And it talks about
yes.
the guidelines. Uh-huh.
Yep.
It talks about the guidelines of what our Heavenly Father is going to expect
mm-hmm.
for everyone in the whole world. And it's going to be compensatory. What that means by compensatory is it's going to be an obligation for every person to come up to Jerusalem during Sukkot.
Yeah.
During Sukkot, they're going to be obligated. There will be no choice in the matter. And if they don't decide to come up, then there will be penalties. Not only will
yeah.
there not be no rain, but there will also be plagues and diseases upon mm. individuals who disobey. And this is everyone. So if you could read that passage in both the King James and in the Amplified, please.
Okay. I have the Amplified. Can I start with the Amplified first, Rabbi?
You sure can.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, it reads, then everyone who is left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and celebrate the Feast of Booths, tabernacles. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. If the family of Egypt does not go up to Jerusalem and present themselves, then no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague with which the Lord will strike the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles. This will be the consequent punishment for the sin of Egypt and the consequent punishment for the sin of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And that's the Amplified. Okay. I'm going to read. Okay.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I'm just going to say this. Okay. The Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Sukkot are the same feast. Different names for the same feast. So mm-hmm. we see clearly here that the Father is very serious about Sukkot. He's very serious about fellowship. He's very serious about worship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also very serious about where it's going to be. Now, mm-hmm. those of us that are brides, we are already going to be with him. We will already
yes.
be tabernacling, okay?
Yes.
So we will have a permanent, hallelujah, a permanent Sukkot, because we will dwell with him and with Yeshua and they with us in the New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Where the New Jerusalem is, which will be hovering above the actual physical Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
that is a permanent place of worship, a permanent place to tabernacle with him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you can read it in the King James.
Yes, sir. So that's Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 through 19, and this will be in the King James. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there will be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Now, that's during the millennial period, which is a 1,000-year reign on earth. So during that 1,000 years, they will have to, every year, come up to Jerusalem from wherever they are on the earth. Exactly how that's going to happen, only Yah knows. But the ability to be able to do it will be given so that they can do it, and it would not be burdensome for them to travel because the Father has already orchestrated how easy it will be in that day to travel from wherever their location is to Jerusalem to worship. Another thing that's very, very important is that during the feast, the Father gives us instructions on exactly how we are to act and how we are to behave ourselves in these particular feasts. Leviticus chapter 23, and I want to say starting at verse 40, okay, Leviticus chapter 23 and around verse 40 gives not only one of the eight feasts, which is the one we're talking about, which is Sukkot, it also lets us know that we're commanded to do some things. One of those commands that I thought was very interesting is that we are commanded to be joyful.
Yes.
We are commanded to be joyful. We are commanded to eat, okay, which we've already done, but we're mm-hmm. commanded to be joyful because the Father will tabernacle with us and bless us to be joyful.
Amen.
In other words, we're not commanded to fake something, to act like we're joyful when we're sad, but we are commanded to expect the Father tabernacle with us in such a way to where he blesses us so that joy comes up from within us based upon the mm-hmm. manifestation of what the Father has done for us. Now, we're also, and I'm saying this so that I don't get in trouble, we're also commanded to come with an offering, okay? So please make sure that you, whatever way that you can, that you get an offering to Pastor Martha. But we're commanded to do that. That's his command. That's not Rabbi John's command. That's his command. But we're commanded to do those things, and we're going to go through this passage so that you can see exactly and know exactly what is commanded of you. Because the Father doesn't want you or me or anyone else to be surprised, okay? Because even the passage in Deuteronomy 31:12 says to be careful to follow his commands. Be careful. In other words, if you stray, if you get out of the way of doing it, you will not be blessed, which means that the curses can come upon you and begin to overtake you. That is so important for us all to understand and all to be aware of. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. Start there.
Okay. So the King James Version reads, "And ye shall take you on the first day the barrows of the goodly tree, branches of palm."
Could you stop and go up just a little bit more where it starts to talk about the Feast of Tabernacle?
Okay,
I think,
hold on.
And I apologize. It's probably maybe one or two more verses.
Oh, let's see. Okay.
I don't have it in front of me.
That's okay. So you want, okay. So also, you want to start at the 15th day or you want to go before that one?
Yeah, 15th day. Right where it starts with the 15th day.
Yes, sir.
What verse
that's
is that?
Verse, Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the barrels of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the barrels of fig trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. ye shall dwell in the booth 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booth, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booth when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord.
In this passage, it talks about the native born. When you, whoever you are, become a bride, then you become a native born. You become a part of Israel as if you never were disconnected from Israel, because they do not look at you as a proselyte. They do not look at you in God's eyes, okay, as someone who just happened to come across this faith and was never born in it. You have the same rights, you have the same privileges, but you also have the same responsibilities and criteria. All of those are connected to you. All of those are given to you without exception.
May I read the Amplified now, Rabbi?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, again, this is Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 1 of the Amplified. On exactly the 15th day of the 7th month, nearly October, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a Sabbath rest on the first day and a Sabbath rest on the 8th day. Now on the first day, you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick leafy trees and willows of the brook, and make booths of them. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Ye shall celebrate it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a permanent statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall live in the booth temporary shelters for 7 days. All native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that you had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the Israelites the appointed feast of the Lord. Rabbi John?
It's important to understand that this feast permanently is going to be centered in one location. So even though we're practicing it all over the world, permanently going to be only in one location. In the future, we've already read that it permanently will be in one location. That location is Israel. That location is Jerusalem. That location will be where our Heavenly Father and Yahushua will be, and where his bride will be. It's important to understand that. There will be no exceptions to that particular rule. It is a rule before him forever. It says permanently. That means for eternity. They will, when I say they, I'm saying they that are not brides, who have not paid the price, have not gone through the suffering that we've gone through, have not disciplined themselves they will pay the price. And a part of that price is learning all of these things that we have already submitted to and have already committed to. Because they chose not to be brides. They chose to do it their own way. They chose not to see it as important in the Father's eyes. That is an important element for us as brides to submit ourselves to now, so that we don't have to go through any of the nuances that they will have to go through. Because they chose their own way. Do we have any questions for those that are listening pertaining to Sukkot that you would like for us to answer at this time? This would be a good time for that. I'll give the mic to Evangelist Tanita and those that are with her fellowshipping.
Everybody that's sitting here said no. They don't have any questions, Rabbi.
Okay. Then what we'll do is we'll go ahead and conclude this particular message and allow everyone to continue to enjoy the fellowship, continue to enjoy our Father and Yahushua. It is too important, because too often we forget that when we're fellowshipping with each other, Yahushua is in the midst wanting to be a blessing, wanting to satisfy that joy that the Father promised. So please ensure that you are open, Spirit of the Lord, allowing him to impress upon you a prophetic word, because that helps to complete the feast of the Lord, especially in this particular one. Father, we thank you and glorify your name. We magnify you. We say that you are supreme and you are worth sacrificing for, sacrificing our time, our energy, our focus of what we need to be doing for you and with you. We invite your Spirit to begin to build within us and touch us, each one, in an area where we need to be touched, so that our joy may be full. Yeshua said that he has come so that our joy may be full. So we desire that right now. Each one of us has different needs. Each one of us has different desires of you, as well as with you. So because of that, petition you. Areas where we have missed the mark, areas where we haven't done all that we must do, we ask forgiveness in the precious name of Yahushua. We apply the blood of Yahushua over that situation, over that circumstance, over that missed opportunity to be obedient, to be careful, to follow your commandments. We ask forgiveness for that right now. We choose to extend that forgiveness to others. We choose to not hold it to their charge. We don't dwell on it. We don't allow it to dwell on us. Because this is a time of fellowship with you. This is a time of joy and excitement. This is a time of being the bride that you called us to be. So we glorify you for that right now. Thank you for traveling mercies for those who need to travel here or there. Thank you for being all that we need, whenever we need. We glorify that in you. and glorify you in us. In the precious name of Yahushua. Amen and amen. Until next time, y'all. Shalom, shalom.